The Enemies of Islam Project Zionism is quickly coming to an end as we conclude Project Zionism by putting forth the solution to the Zionist problem in Palestine. In the first episode, we brought to light the true Jewish stance on the solution to the Zionist problem in Palestine. And in our second episode, we disclosed the shameful Zionist stance on Palestine. In this third episode of four, we bring forth some important conditions that are necessary if we are to attain a lasting and viable solution to the Zionist problem in Palestine. The British government has backed out, and it needs to stay out. The 1939 White Paper. Despite the hollow and ridiculous calls of the British government to back the formation of a Zio-imperialist state in Palestine, a roundtable conference attended by Arabs, Palestinians, and Zionist representatives resulted in the White Paper of 1939, which openly and officially stated the following on behalf of the British government. His Majesty's government believes that the framers of the mandate in which the Balfour Declaration was embodied could not have intended that Palestine should be converted into a Jewish state against the will of the Arab population of the country. The proposal of partition recommended by the Royal Commission, namely the establishment of self-supporting independent Arab and Jewish states within Palestine, has been found to be impracticable. His Majesty's government now declares unequivocally that it is not part of their policy that Palestine should be a Jewish state. The object of His Majesty's government is the establishment within 10 years, by the end of the British mandate, of an independent Palestine state in which Arabs and Jews share in government in such a way as to ensure that the essential interests of each community are safeguarded. Soon thereafter, the Zionists outright rejected the 1939 White Paper and led a campaign of violent and bloody attacks on government property in Palestine and attacks on Palestinian civilians that lasted for several months. After losing the support of the British government, the Zionists began to shift their base of political lobbying and influence from London to Washington, D.C. America was never an honest broker, and it never will be. This prejudiced American bias towards Zionist Israel has been called out even by the United Nations General Assembly via the adoption of a number of resolutions proclaiming that the strategic relationship between the United States of America and Israel encourages Israel to pursue aggressive and expansionist policies and practices. And this unwavering pro-Zionist prejudice isn't limited to just one side of the political aisle. As author, writer, researcher, political analyst, and radio host Stephen Lendman says, Democrats and Republicans both share equal guilt. They fund Israeli state terror, they are partnered in its aggression, and they have collaboratively planned, supported, and/or agreed to it for the past 41 years. And as Professor Avram Noam Chomsky says, in order to break the logjam, it will be necessary to dismantle the reigning illusion that the U.S. is an honest broker, desperately seeking to reconcile recalcitrant adversaries, and to recognize that serious negotiations would be between the U.S., Israel, and the rest of the world. Finally, we uncover the shameful bias and disturbing prejudice of American officials via their very own words. American officials that are utterly disconnected from the American people they claim to represent and have rather become subservient to the desires of political Zionism. The United States has been proud of its association with the State of Israel. We shall continue to stand with Israel. We are committed to Israel's survival and security. The United States, for a quarter of a century, has had an excellent relationship with the State of Israel. We have cooperated in many, many fields. In your security, in the well-being of the Middle East, and in leading what we all hope is a lasting peace throughout the world. We have a special relationship with Israel. It's absolutely crucial that no one in our country or around the world ever doubt that our number one commitment in the Middle East is to protect the right of Israel to exist permanently, and to exist in peace. It's a special relationship. For the people of Israel and America are historic partners in the global quest for human dignity and freedom. We will always remain at each other's side. We will stand up for our friends in the world, and one of the most important friends is the State of Israel.
My administration will be steadfast in supporting Israel against terrorism and violence, and in seeking the peace for which all Israelis pray.
Let me be clear. If I'm president, I will not be neutral. America will stand unapologetically with the nation of Israel.
As a major strategic partner for the United States, our bilateral relationship with Israel in particular is central to regional stability and security in the Middle East. And I pledge to continue close consultations in order to ensure Israel's qualitative military edge and to strengthen Israel's security. We both agree that we must work closely together to enhance U.S.-Israel defense cooperation and to advance shared security interests and priorities.
The bonds between our two nations are strong, and they're going to continue to be strong.
The support for Israel in this Congress has always been strongly bipartisan, as you wish, and it will continue to be so because of our shared values and because of our mutual security concerns.
Let me be absolutely clear. Israel is a strong friend of Israel's. It will be a strong friend of Israel's under a McCain administration. It will be a strong friend of Israel's under an Obama administration. So that policy is not going to change.
Those who threaten Israel threaten us. Israel has always faced these threats on the front lines. And I will bring to the White House an unshakable commitment to Israel's security. That starts with ensuring Israel's qualitative military advantage. I will ensure that Israel can defend itself from any threat, from Gaza to Tehran.
The United States again reaffirms our unbreakable bond with our cherished ally, Israel. The partnership between our two countries, built on our shared values, has advanced the cause of human freedom, dignity, and peace. We have a long history of cooperation in the fight against terrorism and the fight against those who do not value human life.
Together, let's defend the shared values that already make America and Israel great. Let us do the hard work necessary to keep building our friendship and reach out to the next generation of Americans and Israelis so the bonds between our nations grow even deeper and stronger. We are stronger together, and if we face the future side by side, I know for both Israel and America, our best days are still ahead.
It's about time we stop, those of us who support, as most of us do, Israel in this body, for apologizing for our support for Israel. There's no apology to be made. None. It is the best $3 billion investment we make. Were there not an Israel, the United States of America would have to invent an Israel to protect her interest in the region.
It's up to the people. Fayez Abdullah Sayer writes in Zionist Colonialism in Palestine, "The people of Palestine, notwithstanding all its travails and misfortunes, still has undiminished faith in its future. And the people of Palestine know that the pathway to that future is the liberation of its homeland. The problem of Palestine, although it directly afflicts only the Palestinians, is not the concern of Palestinians alone. The Zionist settler state, bent on expansion, is a threat to the security and territorial integrity of the Arab states as well. For it has already invaded their lands. It still covets their territories. As a colonial venture which anomalously came to bloom precisely when colonialism was beginning to fade away, it is in fact a challenge to all anti-colonial peoples in Asia and Africa. And as a racist system animated by doctrines of racial self-segregation, racial exclusiveness, and racial supremacy, and methodically translating these doctrines into ruthless practices of racial discrimination and oppression, the political systems erected by Zionist colonialists in Palestine cannot fail to be recognized as a menace by all civilized men dedicated to the safeguarding and enhancement of the dignity of man. For whenever and wherever the dignity of but one single human being is violated in pursuance of the creed of racism, a heinous sin is committed against the dignity of all men everywhere."